Masterpiece, yeah. Put it right here on my plate. God knows what he's doing for you, and you gotta trust his word. And when you're going through the process like a tattoo, you be like, that hurts. When God's done, it's gonna be flawless. Everything according to his will. You see, he's the master artist.
Good evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio Bible Reading Class. I am your teacher for this evening. My name is Deacon Oliver Welch, and we ask that you invite friends, family, working associates to come join us every Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock till 8 p.m. And Blog Talk Radio was brought to you by Running for Christ Ministry, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. Today's class will be reading and answering questions on Lamentations chapters 1 through 5, and we'll be answering the questions after we finish listening to the scriptures. Now, to get access to the questions, go to your website and type in rscm.org. Click on the tab in the top right-hand corner, and it'll scroll down to Bible reading class questions. And you'll be able to make a copy on your computer, or you can just go ahead and read it off of your phone or whatever tablet or anything that you have there. Excuse me, I'm a little hoarse. I'm just getting over a cold. But anyway, there's certain instructions that we have here in order for us to get this class going. And to get into the hostess queue on your phone, you press the number 1, and that will put you on the hostess queue to answer questions or comments. Now, when you're doing that and you're answering questions or comments, make sure that there's no background noise in the background. And make sure that when you're not speaking, you put your phone on mute when you're not answering questions. And when you want to answer your questions, take it off of mute, and you'll be able to answer the question. Okay. Let us pray before we get started. Excuse me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you brought forth for us. Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your undeserved kindness, Father. We thank you, Father, that you woke us up this morning. And the ones that wasn't woke up this morning, they're with you, Father, in your arms. So, Father, we ask that you open the ears and our hearts and our minds and let us absorb the information when we answer these questions as far as to the best of our ability. And Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit comes upon us so we're answering these questions to the best of our ability, Father. We ask these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, right now, we're going to turn it over to our pastor to start our listening process on these questions. Take it away, Pastor.
The Book of Lamentations, Chapter 1. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night, tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers there is no one to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her, they have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed festivals. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan. Her young women grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters, her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendor has departed from daughter Zion. Her princes are like deer that find no pasture. In weakness they have fled before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and wandering, Jerusalem remembers all the treasures that were hers in days of old. When her people fell into enemy hands, there was no one to help her. Her enemies looked at her and laughed at her destruction. Jerusalem has sinned greatly and so has become unclean. All who honor her despise her, for they have all seen her naked. She herself groans and turns away. Her filthiness clung to her skirts. She did not consider her future. Her fall was astounding. There was none to comfort her. Look, Lord, on my affliction, for the enemy has triumphed. The enemy laid hands on all her treasures. She saw pagan nations enter her sanctuary, those you had forbidden to enter your assembly. All her people groan as they search for bread. They barter their treasures for food to keep themselves alive. Look, Lord, and consider, for I am despised. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look around and see, is any suffering like my suffering that was inflicted on me, that the Lord brought on me in the day of his fierce anger? From on high he sent fire, sent it down into my bones. He spread a net for my feet and turned me back. He made me desolate, faint, all the day long. My sins have been bound into a yoke. By his hands they were woven together. They have been hung on my neck, and the Lord has sapped my strength. He has given me into the hands of those I cannot withstand. The Lord has rejected all the warriors in my midst. He has summoned an army against me to crush my young men. In his winepress, the Lord has trampled virgin daughter Judah. This is why I weep and my eyes overflow with tears. No one is near to comfort me, no one to restore my spirit. My children are destitute because the enemy has prevailed. Zion stretches out her hands, but there is no one to comfort her. The Lord has decreed for Jacob that his neighbors become his foes. Jerusalem has become an unclean thing among them. The Lord is righteous, yet I rebelled against his command. Listen, all you peoples, look on my suffering. My young men and young women have gone into exile. I called to my allies, but they betrayed me. My priests and my elders perished in the city, or they searched for food to keep themselves alive. See, Lord, how distressed I am. I am in torment within, and in my heart I am disturbed, for I have been most rebellious. Outside the sword bereaves, inside there is only death. People have heard my groaning, but there is no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my distress. They rejoice at what you have done. May you bring the day you have announced, so they may become like me. Let all their wickedness come before you. Deal with them as you have dealt with me. Because of all my sins, my groans are many, and my heart is faint. Lamentations 2. How the Lord has covered daughter Zion with the cloud of his anger. He has hurled down the splendor of Israel from heaven to earth. He's not remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. Without pity, the Lord has swallowed up all the dwellings of Jacob. In his wrath, he has torn down the strongholds of daughter Judah. He has brought her kingdom and its princes down to the ground in dishonor. In fierce anger, he has cut off every horn of Israel. He has withdrawn his right hand at the approach of the enemy. He has burned in Jacob like a flaming fire that consumes everything around it. Like an enemy, he has strung his bow. His right hand is ready. Like a foe, he has slain all who are pleasing to the eye. He has poured out his wrath like fire on the tent of daughter Zion. The Lord is like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces and destroyed her strongholds. He has multiplied mourning and lamentation for daughter Judah. He has laid waste his dwelling like a garden. He has destroyed his place of meeting. The Lord has made Zion forget her appointed festivals and her Sabbaths. In his fierce anger, he has spurned both king and priest. The Lord has rejected his altar and abandoned his sanctuary. He has given the walls of her palaces into the hands of the enemy. They have raised a shout in the house of the Lord as on the day of an appointed festival. The Lord determined to tear down the wall around daughter Zion. He stretched out a measuring line and did not withhold his hand from destroying. He made ramparts and walls lament. Together they wasted away. Her gates have sunk into the ground. Their bars he has broken and destroyed. Her king and her princes are exiled among the nations. The law is no more, and her prophets no longer find visions from the Lord. The elders of daughter Zion sit on the ground in silence. They have sprinkled dust on their heads and put on sackcloth. The young women of Jerusalem have bowed their heads to the ground. My eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed, because children and infants faint in the streets of the city. they say to their mothers, "Where is bread and wine?" as they faint like the wounded in the streets of the city, as their lives ebb away in their mother's arms. What can I say for you? With what can I compare you, daughter Jerusalem? To what can I liken you that I may comfort you, virgin daughter Zion? Your wound is as deep as the sea. Who can heal you? The visions of your prophets were false and worthless. They did not expose your sin to ward off your captivity. The prophecies they gave you were false and misleading. All who pass your way clap their hands at you. They scoff and shake their heads at daughter Jerusalem. Is this the city that was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All your enemies open their mouths wide against you. They scoff and gnash their teeth and say, "We have swallowed her up. This is the day we have waited for. We have lived to see it. The Lord has done what he planned. He has fulfilled his word, which he decreed long ago. He has overthrown you without pity. He has let the enemy gloat over you. He has exalted the horn of your foes. The hearts of the people cry out to the Lord. You walls of daughter Zion, let your tears flow like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief, your eyes no rest. Arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at every street corner. Look, Lord, and consider, whom have you ever treated like this? Should women eat their offspring, the children they have cared for? Should priest and prophet be killed in the sanctuary of the Lord? Young and old lie together in the dust of the streets. My young men and young women have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the day of your anger. You have slaughtered them without pity. As you summoned to a feast day, so you summoned against me terrors on every side. In the day of the Lord's anger, no one escaped or survived. Those I cared for and reared, my enemy has destroyed. Lamentations 3. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mocked me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion, so great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. To crush underfoot all prisoners in the land, to deny people their rights before the Most High, to deprive them of justice, would not the Lord see such things? Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? Why should the living complain when punished for their sins? Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain without pity. You have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can get through. You have made us scum and refuse among the nations. All our enemies have opened their mouths wide against us. We have suffered terror and pitfalls, ruin and destruction. Streams of tears flow from my eyes because my people are destroyed. My eyes will flow unceasingly without relief until the Lord looks down from heaven and sees. What I see brings grief to my soul because of all the women of my city. Those who were my enemies without cause hunted me like a bird. They tried to end my life in a pit and threw stones at me. The waters closed over my head, and I thought I was about to perish. I called on your name, Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for relief. You came near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. You, Lord, took up my case. You redeemed my life. Lord, you have seen the wrong done to me. Uphold my cause. You have seen the depth of their vengeance, all their plots against me. Lord, you have heard their insults, all their plots against me. What my enemies whisper and mutter against me all day long. Look at them, sitting or standing, they mock me in their songs. Pay them back what they deserve, Lord, for what their hands have done. Put a veil over their hearts, and may your curse be on them. Pursue them in anger and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. Lamentations 4. How the gold has lost its luster, the fine gold become dull. The sacred gems are scattered at every street corner. How the precious children of Zion, once worth their weight in gold, are now considered as pots of clay, the work of a potter's hands. Even jackals offer their breasts to nurse their young. But my people have become heartless like ostriches in the desert. Because of thirst, the infant's tongue sticks to the roof of its mouth. The children beg for bread, but no one gives it to them. Those who once ate delicacies are destitute in the streets. Those brought up in royal purple now lie on ash heaps. The punishment of my people is greater than that of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment without a hand turned to help her. Their princes were brighter than snow and whiter than milk, their bodies more ruddy than rubies, their appearance like lapis lazuli. But now they are blacker than soot. They are not recognized in the streets. Their skin has shriveled on their bones. It has become as dry as a stick. Those killed by the sword are better off than those who die of famine. Racked with hunger, they waste away for lack of food from the field. With their own hands, compassionate women have cooked their own children, who became their food when my people were destroyed. The Lord has given full vent to his wrath. He has poured out his fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion that consumed her foundations. The kings of the earth did not believe, nor did any of the peoples of the world, that enemies and foes could enter the gates of Jerusalem. But it happened because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who shed within her the blood of the righteous. Now they grope through the streets as if they were blind. They are so defiled with blood that no one dares to touch their garments. Go away, you are unclean. People cry to them, away, away, don't touch us. When they flee and wander about, people among the nations say, They can stay here no longer. The Lord himself has scattered them. He no longer watches over them. The priests are shown no honor, the elders no favor. Moreover, our eyes failed, looking in vain for help. From our towers we watched for a nation that could not save us. People stalked us at every step, so we could not walk in our streets. Our end was near, our days were numbered, for our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than eagles in the sky. They chased us over the mountains and lay in wait for us in the desert. The Lord's anointed, our very life breath, was caught in their traps. We thought that under his shadow we would live among the nations. Rejoice and be glad, daughter Edom, you who live in the land of Uz. But to you also the cup will be passed. You will be drunk and stripped naked. Your punishment will end, daughter Zion. He will not prolong your exile, but he will punish your sin, daughter Edom, and expose your wickedness. Lamentations 5. Remember, Lord, what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. We have become fatherless, our mothers are widows. We must buy the water we drink. Our wood can be had only at a price. Those who pursue us are at our heels. We are weary and find no rest. We submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. Our ancestors sinned and are no more, and we bear their punishment. Slaves rule over us, and there is no one to free us from their hands. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the desert. Our skin is hot as an oven, feverish from hunger. Women have been violated in Zion and virgins in the towns of Judah. Princes have been hung up by their hands. Elders are shown no respect. Young men toil at the millstones. Boys stagger under loads of wood. The elders are gone from the city gate. The young men have stopped their music. Joy is gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this our hearts are faint. Because of these things our eyes grow dim for Mount Zion, which lies desolate with jackals prowling over it. You, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure.
Okay. And that concludes the reading portion of Lamentations 1 through 5. And there's two things I want to bring out into the open to let us get more involved into Lamentations. The first point is that the book of Lamentations expresses the humiliation, suffering, and despair of Jerusalem and her people following the destruction of the city by the Babylonians in 587 BCE. And with that, another point that caught my eye is the book of Lamentations shows that God is a fierce enemy to those who trample.
One second. Hey, somebody has a television on and we can hear it. So can we please mute our phones to make sure we have no background noise because it's very distracting. Thank you.
They're still there.
Yeah.
We can still hear. We can still hear it.
Yeah, we can still. Whoever it is must have walked away.
We'll give them a few minutes. Ah, it is silent.
I found it. Please mute. Yeah, if you're not answering questions, please mute your phone so we don't have to hear the background noise. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let me start all over again. Okay. The Book of Lamentations expresses the humiliation, the suffering, and the despair of Jerusalem and her people following the destruction of the city by the Babylonians in 587 BCE. That's the first point. And the second point is the Book of Lamentations so shows that God is a fierce enemy to those who trample on his word and despise his grace. But he's also rich in mercy and unfailingly faithful to his covenant promises. Somewhere, somehow, restoration will come to them. Okay, with that and everything, question number one. How is Jerusalem described as a queen to her faith now, and what happened to her friends?
Is it chapter 1:1-2?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
1 and 2 or 3.
All right,
yeah,
that's 2.
1 and 2, okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
I have 1 and 2 as well.
Would someone read that for me, please?
Jerusalem, once so full of people, is now deserted. She who was once great among the nations now sits alone like a widow. Once the queen of all the earth, she is now a slave. She sobs through the night. Tears stream down her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is no one left to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her and become her enemies.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. And would somebody read the footnotes at the bottom for me, please?
I can. I'm on my tablet.
Okay. Go ahead, Reese.
Okay.
No, I can't because I'm on my tablet.
Oh, okay. Could someone
read
that for me, please?
The prophet Jeremiah wrote this song of sorrow about Jerusalem's destruction. The nation of Judah had been utterly defeated, the temple destroyed, and captives taken away to Babylon. Jeremiah's tears were for the suffering and humiliation of the people, but those tears traded even deeper into his heart. He wept because God rejected the people for their rebellious ways. Later, this book would be read aloud each year on the anniversary of the destruction of Jerusalem to remind all the Jews that their great city had fallen because of their stubborn sinfulness. Today, devout Jews read this entire book on a regular basis at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem.
Thank you. I'm going to read two on that one. Chapter 1 and footnotes 2. The term lovers refers to the nations such as Egypt, to whom Judah kept turning for help. As the Babylonians closed in on Jerusalem, the nation of Judah turned away from God and sought help and protection from other nations instead. So it goes to show you who your friends are when you're in need and in trouble. Thank you very much. Is everybody satisfied with 1 and 2 is the answer?
Yeah, that's what I read.
Okay. Any other answers? Okay. Moving right along. Question number 2. What did Jerusalem do to cause the immorality, the plunder, and the search for bread?
I had 8 through 11.
Okay. I am not.
Okay. I have verses 8 through 11.
Okay.
We're going
with 8.
We'll go 8 to 11. Go ahead, yeah. Read.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Jerusalem has sinned greatly. Okay, thank you. Jerusalem has sinned greatly, so she has been tossed away like a filthy rag. All who once honored her now despise her, for they have seen her stripped naked and humiliated. All she can do is groan and hide her face. She defiled herself with immorality and gave no thought to her future. Now she lies in the gutter with no one to lift her out. Lord, see my misery, she cries. The enemy has triumphed. The enemy has plundered and completely taken every precious thing she owns. She has seen foreigners violate her sacred temple, the place the Lord had forbidden them to enter. Her people groan as they search for bread. They have sold their treasures for food to stay alive. Oh, Lord, look, she mourns, and see how I am despised. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Deacon Lee, would you read the footnotes of 1-9?
I cannot. I'm on the computer. I apologize.
Okay.
I cannot. Yes, thank you.
Miss Kathy, would you mind reading that for us?
Let me see. This is a Beatrice. I think I can read it.
Okay.
You said 1-9.
1-9.
You said
yes.
1-9. Okay. The warning was loud and clear. If Judea played with fire, its people would get burned. Jerusalem foolishly took a chance and lost, refusing to believe that immoral living brings God's punishment. The ultimate consequence of sin is punishment, Romans 6:23. We can choose to ignore God's warning, but as surely as judgment came upon Jerusalem, so it will come upon those who defy God. Are you listening to God's word? Are you obeying? Are you obeying it? Obedience is a sure sign of your love for God.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
All right.
I've read that.
Can y'all give me a big amen on that one?
Yes, amen. To the 10th hour.
Wow.
Yes.
I think that we've all gone through some type of, I wouldn't say God turned his back on us, but, you know, we like to do things our way. But once we are out from under God's umbrella, we do suffer the consequences.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, we do. We go close to the fire, like the old saying is, don't get too close to the flame. And then and as far as getting burnt and, you know, getting a little crispy, but, you know, we bad kids and we'll keep pushing our daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good call.
Yeah. And he doesn't have to use a belt or switch.
No.
Thank you, Deacon B. And thank you, Twig. We appreciate that. Okay.
You're welcome.
Any other answers?
No.
Okay. Number 3. How does Jerusalem ask for help from their neighbors and despair?
I have 17. Oh,
That's what I have too.
You had 17?
I had 17 through 20.
I had 15 through 19.
Okay.
I don't know.
You know what? I had 17 and 18, but we can go through, let's do 17 through, no, let's do 15 through 19, and we'll get everybody in on that one.
Okay.
All right. Could someone read 15 through 19 for me, please?
All paths venture at you. They scoff and insult beautiful Jerusalem, saying, is this the city called most beautiful in all the world and joy of all the earth? All your enemies mock you. They scoff and snarl and say, we have destroyed her at last. We have long waited for this day, and it is finally here. But it is the Lord who did just as he planned. He has fulfilled the promises of disaster he made long ago. He has destroyed Jerusalem without mercy. He has caused her enemies to gloat over her and has given them power over her. Cry aloud before the Lord, O walls of beautiful Jerusalem, let your tears flow like a river, day and night. Give yourself no rest. Give your eyes no relief. Rise during the night and cry out. Pour out your hearts like water to the Lord. Lift up your hands to him in prayer, pleading for your children. For in every street there are faint and with hunger. Oh Lord, think about this. Should you treat your own people this way? Should mothers eat their own children? Those they once bounced on their knees? Should priests and prophets be killed within the Lord's temple? Amen.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
Okay. All right.
Are there any more answers besides what Lucia said?
I heard what she said, but it sounded totally different from what I thought the answer was.
Well, the reason I went that far was because it started off, I started off in 17 because it started off telling you about how they were actually.
Oh, okay, that's why I couldn't keep up.
But the despair went all the way down to 20 for me. So that's why I went 17 and 20.
Okay. But see, I was back up in 15. So I'm like, where is she reading from? Because I ain't got none of that. And, okay, I see now. Okay. All right. Because he said start with 15. And that's why I thought she was going to 15.
Somebody else said 15. But I had 17
okay.
to 20. His answer was 17 and 18. So he said read from 15 to 20, and we get everybody's answer.
Right.
Okay. I'm good. I just thought she. I missed on somewhere where she started out with. Okay. I apologize, everybody.
Oh no, you okay?
That was a very, very good description of that. It just broke it down really, really down to the point. Thank you, Reese. Appreciate that. Are there any more answers for number 3? Okay, if not, let us move on. Question number 4. In God's anger, what was done to the cities of Israel and their protection.
Is it chapter 2, verse 2 through 4?
I
had 1 through 3.
I had
1
through
3. I had
1
through
3
also.
I just had 2 and 3.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take 1 through 4. Will somebody read that for me, please?
Sound good to me?
It reads as follows. The Lord, in his anger, has cast a dark shadow over beautiful Jerusalem. The fairest of Israel's cities lies in the dust, thrown down from the heights of heaven. In his day of great anger, the Lord has shown no mercy even to his temple. Without mercy, the Lord has destroyed every home in Israel. In his anger, he has broken down the fortress walls of beautiful Jerusalem. He has brought them to the ground, dishonoring the kingdom and its rulers. All the strength of Israel vanishes beneath his fierce anger. The Lord has withdrawn his protection as the enemy attacks. He consumes the whole land of Israel like a raging fire. He bends his bow against his people as though he were their enemy. His strength is used against them to kill their finest youth. His fury is poured out like fire on beautiful Jerusalem. Amen.
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 Amen. Boy.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Any comments on that answer? Could y'all see yourselves as Jeremiah is looking as what's going on with the Israelites as they've been captured by the Babylonians? Can you actually picture that in your mind, what they're going through?
I don't know what they're going through, but I can say, he's willing, I'm thinking the way I was reading this, he's willing to change their whole way of living if they would just stop, break it down, eliminate their past, plead to him. And I'm thinking, this is my opinion, that God is just like, I mean, I just think Lamentations itself is just for them, the purpose of them to turn back to God. That's just me. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I'm just thinking, if Israel would have just turned back to God, they would have been okay. They wouldn't have no issue.
But weren't they also being punished? But weren't they also being punished for their ancestors? What the ancestors did?
They did say that. But the thing about it is, they were still doing the things like their ancestors. So if they was just, some of them were, and if they would just stop what they was doing and just confess to God, this is just me talking. They make a confession and ask for his help. I just think if he was there, being willing to help them. That's just me thinking. I could be wrong.
They really didn't want to repent, even though he kept iterating to them, this is going to happen. I'm going to cause destruction on you for your sins. They still never wanted to repent.
You know, even though Jeremiah had been telling them and warning them for decades, and when it finally did go down, he never took the position of, I told you. He was genuinely sad and had empathy for them.
I just think they wasn't asking for help, and they wasn't trusting God. That's just me.
But you know, as we back up and everything, how about their neighbors mm-hmm. and their friends? You see how they turned their back down on Jerusalem after they fell? There weren't nobody around to help them.
Oh, well, that's all the time. Let me get up there. Let me be the man with the bag. I'm getting all the money. I'm taking care of everybody while I got the money. When I drop, y'all gonna scatter. My man, MC Hammer, Brian Kennedy, had all the means, helped his boys and stuff out. When he got broke, they all disappeared from around him.
Right.
That's going to happen. That's going to happen.
And what they did was, I think back in chapter 1, it talks about it, and I know I could probably be missing something of interpreting it wrong. They asked some help from humans, other nations, but they didn't go to God. And I think that's what happened. So they didn't, I think it's talked about it in chapter 1 a little bit about it when reading and then Jeremiah was like, the Lord seen what he was trying to do, but mm-hmm. you know, it was up to his chosen to listen and just, like you said, Eric, and just come and maybe ask, but they didn't. They went to people instead of going. I could be wrong.
No. You know, it's surprisingly how us as human beings, when things go wrong and everything, we always see that we'll always try to get advice for somebody, and instead of getting advice from the Holy Spirit
as
far as how we do things. Yeah. I think we've all gone through that ourselves, besides Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for the any other answers? Okay. If not, moving to question number 5. How does God break it down, his sanctuary and the prophets?
I had a couple different things. I don't know if my stuff is right, but for the sanctuary, I had 2:7 and the footnote, maybe I put in my notes. And then for the prophets, 2:14, everything's like question mark, maybe. I don't think it's right.
I have
6:29.
Okay.
6:29. All right, Reese. We're on the same page. I have 6:29.
Okay, I have 7:29.
Okay, I have 6:8. Okay.
I have 7:29. I missed 6.
See, I'm all off.
Okay.
No, you
know. Okay. Would someone read 6:29 and also do the footnotes? Yeah.
No, I can read 6:9, but not the footnote.
Oh. That's weird.
Okay. Sorry, Eric. I can't cut you out.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, so 6:9. He has broken down his temple as though it were merely a garden shelter. The Lord has blotted out all memory of the holy festivals and Sabbath days. Kings and priests fall together before his fierce anger. The Lord has rejected his own altar. He despises his own sanctuary. He has given Jerusalem palaces to her enemies. They shout in the Lord's temple as though it were a day of celebration. The Lord, you said go through, did you say 8 or 9?
Nine.
Okay.
Nine.
The Lord was determined to destroy the walls of beautiful Jerusalem. He made careful plans for their destruction. Then did what he had planned. Therefore, the ramparts and the walls had fallen down before him. Jerusalem's gates have sunk into the ground. He has smashed their locks and bars. His king, her king and princesses have been exiled to distant lands. Her land has ceased to exist. Her prophets receive no more visions from the Lord. And, okay. All right. I got to move my Bible a certain way to see the smaller letter in the footnote. Hold on. Okay.
And y'all laugh at me.
At least you know where our glasses at.
That's fire.
Our place of worship is not as important to God as our priorities in worship. A church building may be beautiful, but its people don't sincerely follow God. The church will decay from within. The people of Judah, despite their stunning temple, have rejected in their daily lives what they proclaimed in their worship rituals. Thus, their worship had turned into a mocking lie. When you worship, you are saying words you don't really mean. Do you pray for help you don't really believe will come? Do you express love for God you don't really have? Earnestly seek God and catch a fresh vision of his love and care. Then worship him wholeheartedly. All righty.
Amen.
Well, and no, I'm good. I like that.
Okay. Go ahead. Deacon Reed, you had a comment or anything to add on to that?
Well, my comment is it was good. Everything's fine. Let's go. I'm good.
Okay. All right. Any other answers?
All right.
No, but I liked how the footnote talked about, you know, our worship had turned into a mocking lie, and when we worship, are you seeking the word that you really mean, or you just playing the role?
Right.
You know.
Right.
In other words, are you a Pharisee?
Yeah, going
right.
To church just to go.
Yeah. Oh.
Because it looks good.
Yeah. Man, we know we've, in our lifetime, we've gone to churches that put on a sideshow, you know.
I don't know about the sideshow, but I did go just to go a long time ago. I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll fall in
but
that.
When you went, did you go to serve the Lord, or you just did it as a routine or a ritual?
Now, I had two or three reasons. One of them, because if I went with my grandmother and my Aunt Juanita, I could get out the house and I was going to be out for a while. That's because I was on punishment. So if I go to church, I get out. I can hang out with them.
Okay.
Two, if I went with consistency, I can always ask my mom for some new clothes, and it works. I'm just keeping it real.
Oh, my goodness.
I did. It was for the show.
Wait a minute. I don't know why y'all surprised.
Well, I'm just telling the truth. That's all I'm doing. I don't know why y'all surprised. Now, that's a good thing. I don't have, oh, man, low self-esteem. I get toe up with you guys.
That's okay, Deacon Eric. I got dragged to church. I didn't want to go. My grandmother made me go.
Okay.
Well,
I wasn't made to go. I wanted to go.
I started off in Catholic church. I grew up in a Catholic church.
Okay.
Until they closed, because I went to Catholic school, and my parents, we went to Catholic church. And so it was hard when I changed over to Baptist. I ended up at First Baptist, and that's where I have been until I came to Running for Christ.
Amen.
Okay, well, we welcome you at Running for Christ.
Yeah. We didn't have a choice. Alicia Cowan was First Baptist Secretary. We was in church every Sunday.
No,
that I can believe. That I can totally believe.
My, yes. Her mama wasn't no better. She was there, too.
Oh, I know her, too.
So we were there every Sunday, too.
Yeah.
Are there any more answers?
Yeah.
Any more comments?
Not for me, sir.
Okay. Okay, moving to question number 6. Excuse me. How is Jerusalem handling the sayings of the prophets and the mocking of their enemies?
2:14-16.
Oh, wow.
Yes. All right. Good answer.
I added 17.
Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, well, I tell you
okay.
what. Let's get everybody in. Let's do 14-17.
Okay.
I like that. Let's get everybody
Your prophets have said. So many foolish things, false to the core. They don't save you from exile by pointing out your sins. Instead, they painted false pictures, filling you with false hope. All pass by jeer at you. They scoff and insult beautiful Jerusalem, saying, "Is this the city most beautiful in all the world and joy of all the earth? All your enemies mock you. They scoff and snarl and say, 'We have destroyed her at last. We have long waited for this day, and it's finally here.' But it is the Lord who did just as he planned. He fulfilled the promises of disaster he made long ago. He has destroyed Jerusalem without mercy. He has caused her enemies to gloat over her and has given them power over her." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Okay. I'm going to back up to 14. I'm going to do a little advertising here. Your prophets have said so many foolish things, false to the core. And, you know, and they painted false pictures, filling you with false hope. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a class on Monday called Second Peter, which they didn't have back in that day. We do have now about false prophets. But since back at that time, nobody had access to any written scriptures, and they were illiterate. So they really didn't have a positive outlook as far as what was given to them by their prophets and everything. So, you know, it's like that's the main thing with Christianity these days, is that a lot of false teachings and a lot of false prophets and everything, you know, that causes people to, you know, they don't know any better. You know, they believe in these officials of the cloth that they were just going by what they were saying and everything, not knowing that they were just filling their heads up with a lot of lies. Any comments on that?
That was a beautiful segue to our
What did you say?
That's my comment, that was a beautiful segue and commercial
okay.
for the class. That was awesome.
All right. Well, thank
okay,
you very
thank
much.
You.
Yes. Any questions? Any other answers, comments?
Not for me.
Excuse me, everyone. My voice comes in and out. Question number 7. How does Jeremiah explain the faithfulness of the Lord?
I got chapter 3, verses
okay.
22
through 24 for me. That's one I didn't even do at all.
I had two answers, so 31 through 33 seemed like it applied too, but I'm not sure.
I had 22 to 27.
Okay.
You
said 22 through 27?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I got the footnote back
footnote.
That up.
To back you up, huh?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I don't even know without it.
So we're working with what, 22 through 27?
Yeah.
Let's do 21 through 27.
21 and
26.
Okay.
Ms. Reed, we know if you started, we go with it.
Okay.
Do you want me to read 21 through 27?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
It
reads as follows. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. And it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline. Amen.
All right.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Wow.
Okay. Any other answers or comments?
Oh, that covered it.
Okay. Question number 8. How should we, as mere humans, look at God's discipline?
See, I had
39
yeah.
through
42. Ding, ding.
I had,
go ahead,
see,
brother.
I started at 27 and ended at 42.
So,
oh.
Yeah.
And then
39 through 42. So, yeah. Oliver, I had a couple things, too. I had 27 through 30, and then I said, or maybe up to 33, and the footnote. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, we know.
I don't know.
Ms.
Rebecca,
Johnson,
what
you have, Ms. Johnson?
I had 37 through 42.
Okay.
I started at 27, but y'all said that was part of the other answer. So I had
37.
So we're
doing 37 to 42?
Or 2. That's
okay.
What I
mean. Okay.
I'm asking you, Deacon Welch.
We can. Let's go with 37 to 42.
Okay.
Was Was Ms. Johnson going to read it?
You're going to read it.
Right, because
oh, okay.
I just read it.
Okay.
He always
has
to put it off with somebody else.
Just 1 minute, Brother Wilk. I apologize.
Okay, you're good.
Who can command these things to happen without the Lord's permission? Does not the Most High send both calamity and good? Then why should we, mere humans, complain when we are punished for our sins? Instead, let us test and examine our way. Let us turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven us. Amen.
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 Yeah. I agree. I was wrong all the way around. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, no, you're fine, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson.
Okay, I'm going to read the footnotes on 39.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Parents discipline children to produce right behavior. God disciplined Judah to produce right living and genuine worship. We must not complain about corrective or instructive discipline in our lives or learn from it, trusting God and being willing to change. We must allow God's correction to bring about the kind of behavior in our lives that pleases Him. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Mm-hmm. Any other answers or comments on that? Okay. Question number 9. What did Jeremiah do? How he felt when he called for the Lord from the pit?
I was a little perplexed with this, so I had two answers on this one, and I'm not sure. My first one was 3:52-57.
That's what I had.
I have 55-60.
Huh?
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm listening to you.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know. So what did you have, Deacon Oliver?
I had 56-66.
That's my second answer was 53-66. So I don't. The only reason why I picked 52-57 because it talks about at 52 it talks about the enemy that I had never harmed hunted me down like a bird, and they threw me into a pit and dropped stones on me. So I didn't know if that was relevant. If was that the same thing or was that different?
That's why I started at
52. See, I started at 55 because it's the Lord, but I called on your name, Lord, from deep within the pit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there we go. That's the key right there, the pit.
Oh,
yeah, you heard
okay.
me when I cried. Listen to my pleading. Hear my cry for help. Yes, you can help when I called. Yes, you came when I called. You told me, do not fear.
Nice.
Lord,
yeah,
you have come to my defense.
Yeah,
you have redeemed my life.
Saying.
Okay.
Yeah. But
in 53, he also said, they threw me into a pit and dropped stones on me. Then the water rose over my head and I cried out. This is the end.
But
I called on your name, Lord, from deep within the pit. So that's why I said that part.
Okay, yeah. I didn't see it mentioned twice. Yeah. Okay, well, we can collaborate 52, 53.
Yeah, keep on reading, Deacon Eric. Keep on reading.
Where did I stop? At 55 or 56?
I think you stopped at 56.
Okay. 56. You heard me when I cried. Listen to my pleading. Hear my cry for help. Yes, you came when I called. You told me, do not fear. Lord, you have come to my defense. You have redeemed my life. You have seen the wrong they have done to me. Lord, be my judge and prove me right. You have seen the vengeful plot my enemies have laid against me. Amen?
Amen.
160, right? Okay. Right, okay.
60. That's how you say it.
Okay.
60. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now,
you're very welcome.
Okay, who do you think threw Jeremiah in the pit? You think it was his own people?
Yep.
And why is that?
Because he was trying to. Go ahead, Rebecca.
No, you. I must be serve. You go.
I think because he was still holding, he was just preaching what God, you know, told him what he had for his people, and they just didn't want to hear it. And so instead of walking away, they just threw the man in the pit.
That is what I was going to say.
Okay.
That's a good answer.
I wouldn't say they had him in actual pit. I don't think he was in an actual pit. I just think he was in a low place.
It was a cistern, right?
Right.
Right. I have a comment about that.
Go ahead.
So I watched the movie, Jeremiah Bible Collection, and it shows there's a scene where he is pulled out of the pit, out of the cistern. So he's standing in water and mud, which is a symbol that shows how they don't have any water. And when he got pulled out, someone gave him a piece of bread, and he had that piece of bread for, he took a bite out of it, and he took two steps, and somebody stole it from him. And you could see a crowd of people running off with his bread. And that is the main
wow.
thing that struck me about the movie.
I didn't know he was actually in a physical pit. I thought he was just in a low place. And he, you know how when you down real low and you're in a misery state, like you're in the pit. That's what I was thinking. Pastor, can we get some assistance on this, please?
But you got to think how horrible those people was. They was eating their own kids. So
why
do they care about stealing the piece of bread and throwing him in the pit? If you eat your own kids, right? He was like, I marinated and did my kid yesterday. Your kid yesterday.
You know, right? You can't go to sleep because your leg going to be next.
Can't go to sleep. Wow.
You guys are hilarious. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
But can we get some input on this, on that one? Because I'm curious to that myself. Was it a physical pit or is it he being in a low state of mind? And I'm very curious on that now because we definitely had two different directions. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that I'm totally right. I'm just curious because I thought it was like metaphorically he was in the, you know, in a pit type thing. But I'm just thinking he was in a low. Okay.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, footnotes, chapter 3, 52-57 says, at one point in his ministry, Jeremiah was thrown into an empty cistern.
Cistern.
Oh, cistern, yeah. Okay,
he was left to die. In the mire, the bottom. And that's Jeremiah 38.
His boy Ebed-Melech went and told what was happening to him, and they came and got him out.
Okay. So he was in an actual physical place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an empty cistern with nothing
right.
in it but mud.
Okay.
And he sank down
okay.
right up to his neck. And
wow.
the little eunuch, Ebed Melech, went to the king Zedekiah and told him, your boy done chucked your boy into a pit, and he going to die in there. And so, of course, the king had him taken out and put in the king's guard, told him to watch over and make sure they don't jack him again. But, yeah, Jeremiah, he went through it, and he was, all of this is sadness of heart of what
okay.
happened. And imagine, like Oliver's been saying, picture it. Try to picture it in your mind. This is the great city, Jerusalem. Remember way back with David when it used to be called Jebus, you know, the Jebusites. And then David
mm-hmm.
went there. They took it over. They made a deal, worked it out. It became Zion, you know, the place where the temple is, the place where all Israelites come three times a year to celebrate those spring, summer, and fall feasts to the Lord.
Yep.
And now the city, and remember, they got fame. Why? Because they came in and conquered great nations, took over those nations because God overthrew them on behalf of his people to keep his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob about giving them this land. And now everybody around them knew about their God. And remember, as far back as Jericho, they were gates all shut up. They were scared to death. Why? Because those Israelites whose God took out Sihon and Og are now crossing the Jordan River and coming our way. And now, even Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan knew about the prophecies of Isaiah and the other prophets about Israel. And they even knew that God was going to use them to punish them. That's why you would hear them say, it was your God who turned you over to me. Okay, because they knew about those prophecies. And now the great Israel, the great city of Zion, the impenetrable fortress Jerusalem, has been decimated. This is unthinkable, unfathomable to people. Their whole frame of reference, their whole mindset is just thrown out the window, and they're in derision. And so Jeremiah is thinking back. And he's remembering, and like Avitra said, or either it was Reese, they just didn't want to stop sinning. They did not want to. Every opportunity they had to turn from God, they took it. They had, remember when we was reading the Kings, the Asherah poles all over the place. They had
right.
every tree, every spreading grove. They was up there sacrificing their kids to Chemosh or Chemosh. And now it's all falling apart. No matter how long it is, what, 27 years he warned them? And they didn't listen at all. And now it's come to this. And so now he's sitting down as if you will, by a brook. And he's recalling. And he's lamenting. He's writing down his sorrows for Jerusalem that has fallen. And have you ever warned somebody about something that was coming, and if they continued going down that road, it was going to get them? And it got them. My father used to say stuff to me like this, okay, you followed them up. And I would keep on clowning, thinking I got away with something. But then one day, I had to pay the bill. Okay, I had them piled up enough, and it was time to pay the bill. And so we headed for the basement, hold the pole, it'll last, it'll be shorter, let the pole go, then you're in rebellion again, I'm going to have to get you some more. So eventually reckoning will come. For us as Christians today, though, God allows the reckoning to make us better. The devil hates that. But if we get our comeuppance because we've been clowning, Well, the Lord is definitely going, for us it's discipline. It's Hebrews, what, 12? It's discipline. And it's only for our good, not so God can show himself sovereign over us, powerful over us. But no, so he can, well, if we, that's what you want to do, then I'll use this to teach you how to do that. I could teach you this way, it's a real easy way, but since you don't like to learn the easy way, I'll take you to the Detroit House of Correction, teach you how to pay child support. Hallelujah. And I learned. But nowadays, I tend to learn the other way. Instead of going to the Detroit House of Correction, I just do what I'm supposed to do. Because I know from the past, you can belong to God and be his child. But boy, he will touch you up real good and not hurt you, but do it to help you. So I don't need that kind of help no more. I'm good. I just take the word and run with that rather than, okay, I got a Babylon for you. And they just got thoroughly wrecked because y'all know they're going to be under the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, and then they're going to end under the Romans. And then by the time 80, 70, they're going to be dispersed all over the world. They never did stop clowning. Never did. Jesus came, he had to keep them from killing him so he could die for us. It was something else. Okay, that's my sermon for tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pastor. We needed that.
You're welcome.
Yes. Are there any more answers? Or any more comments? Okay, if not, we're going to move along. Fill in the blank. Number 10. The quilt, blank, then, that Sodom, blank, eaten them, blank, siege.
Chapter 4, verses 6 through 10.
Yes, ma'am. Well, would you take the floor on that?
The quilt of my people is greater than that of Saddam. Where utter disaster struck in a moment, and no hand offered help. Our princes once glow with health, whiter than snow, whiter than milk. Their faces were as ruddy as rubies. Their appearances like fine jewelry, but now their faces are blacker than soot. No one recognizes them. In the streets, their skin sticks to their bones. It is as dry as hardened wood. Those killed by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger, starving, then waste away for lack of food and from the fields. Tender-hearted women have cooked their own children. They have eaten them to survive the siege. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Could y'all see how graphic that is? How God punished them?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know God don't take no shorts on nothing.
Nope. Nope, not at all. But as
you don't take no shorts.
But as of this and everything, you know that God pulls them out of this, you know, just like in Egypt, how he pulled them out of Egypt. And now they got Babylon, and as we go further in the scriptures, they'd be taken up twice again. So God gets his point across one way or another. Are there any comments or any more answers? If not, we're going to question number 11. What happened to the prophets and the priests because of their sins?
I had chapter 4, verse 13 through 16.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Yeah. I have what she got.
Okay. Would you mind reading that for me, please?
Sure. It reads as follows. Yet it happened because of the sins of her prophets and the sins of her priests who defiled the city by shedding innocent blood. They wandered blindly through the streets, so defiled by blood that no one dared touch them. Get away, the people shouted at them. You're defiled. Don't touch us. So they fled to distant lands and wandered among foreign nations, but none would let them stay. The Lord himself has scattered them, and he no longer helps them. People show no respect for the priests and no longer honor the leaders. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, it just goes to show you how the prophets and the priests. Could you say, Pastor, could you say the prophets and the priests, were they politicians, Christian politicians?
Well, the prophets, if they were, those prophets of Zedekiah, it was about 450 of them, they would all say whatever he wanted to hear or what they thought he wanted to hear. They would all, you know, it was like when Micaiah or Micaiah is what we call him. Remember him dealing with Ahab and Jehoshaphat? And Jehoshaphat, Ahab had 400 or some fake prophets. They were from Jezebel, right? And he said, is there anybody else here? And then there was, because they were all saying the same thing. He knew they was faking. You can't get six people to say the same thing, let alone 450 of them. So he said, is there anybody else? And, of course, it was Micaiah. And Micaiah, he didn't like Ahab. And so he said, when he did give his prophecy, he said, well, you know, see what I told you? That's why I didn't even want to ask him, because every time I do ask him, he prophesies something bad on me. So anyway, these were the same kind. Zedekiah was surrounded by people who would tell him what he wanted to hear because he was king. And it was dangerous to speak. Remember the man who came to David and was seen to be glad that Absalom had died? And then he had him killed? Well, I mean, when Saul died, he had him killed?
Right.
So it was dangerous to run to the king with bad news. It could go bad for you. So these fake prophets just filled his head full of garbage, and he went for it. He suffered big time. I think we read that under Naomi that the last thing his eyes ever saw was his sons being put to death. And then he was blinded and left like that until one of the kings came along after Nebuchadnezzar and let him out and let him sit at the table again. But he was still blind, and imagine that, the last thing you saw. Now, he could have avoided all of that if he had listened to the one prophet, Jeremiah, versus the 400 fake prophets who was telling him what he wanted to hear. If he had gone out, surrendered himself to Babylon, he would have lived, his sons would have lived. And as you can see, later on, the king, a Babylonian king came along who pulled him out of jail and let him eat at the king's table. No doubt it would have been the same for his sons. And they probably could have rose up in the Babylonian government, like Daniel and the Hebrew boys. But he wouldn't listen to the one prophet. He listened to the whole 400 fake ones. And there you go. That's the way that ended. But, yeah, they would get wrapped up in politics. And say whatever. It's just like the people who follow the former president. They know what he is spouting is pure lies, but they follow him. There are Christian, evangelical right Christians who follow him, support him, even though right now he's mad at them because they haven't voiced their support for him. The evangelical right, they're hoping Pence run, but you have preachers who run up behind him. I couldn't, you know. Anyway, you have preachers who, you have to be really, really desperate for some political thing you want to stand with him. You know, a complete and utter apostate. His daughter's an apostate. She was a Christian, right? Supposedly Presbyterian. Well, she rejected Christianity and converted to Judaism with her husband,
right.
Jared Kushner. So so Christianity means nothing to them. They haven't the slightest idea the difference between the two. No more than he knew he was holding that Bible upside down.
Yeah. But he was going to quote the Bible. How? You can't even hold it right side up.
You know, he's right. You know, you don't even know. What was that supposed to, what, this makes you, I mean, this makes you a child of God because you can hold the Bible. The devil know the whole Bible. He ain't a child of God.
Right.
Judas went to every Bible class and every sermon that Jesus ever preached. He heard it. He wasn't no Christian.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. All right. Thank you, Pastor, for stating that for me. I appreciate that. All for us. Yes.
You're welcome.
Any other answers or questions? Yes, now we're going to move right along. And again, Pastor, thank you very much for your input. We appreciate it. Okay. Question number 12. What is said about eagles in flight and the outcome of this verse?
I had
19.
That's what I had,
419.
I had 19.
Me too.
Okay. All right. All right. And it's unanimous with somebody else. Would someone read that for me, please?
Our enemies were swifter than eagles in flight. If we fled to the mountains, they found us. If we hid in the wilderness, they were waiting for us there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So they couldn't get away.
No.
Not
hiding.
Why?
Not at all. Boy.
That's us.
That had to be something to see. I mean, it's almost, you know, you can almost look at that as a good sci-fi or horror picture with that all going on, like Night of the Living Dead or something, you know. It was. Anyway. Okay, are there any more answers or comments on that question? If not, question number 13. What was Jeremiah saying in verse 1? And how did he break it down in prayer? Now, he broke it down, y'all.
I had 2 through 5.
Okay. Anybody else?
I didn't get that one.
I didn't get that one either.
Well, I had 1 through 7.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And right. Okay, if y'all don't mind, I'll read that for you.
All right.
And okay. And it reads as follows. Lord, remember what has happened to us. See how we've been disgraced. Our inheritance has turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. We are orphaned and fatherless. Our mothers are widows. We have to pay for water to drink, and even firewood is expensive. Those who pursue us are at our heels. We are exhausted, but are given are given no rest. We submit to Egypt and Assyria to get enough food to survive. Our ancestors sinned, but they have died. And we are suffering the punishment, and we are suffering the punishment they deserve. And when you say they deserve, who is he talking about?
They're talking about their forefathers, right? Their the generation before them.
Okay, right. So, would you consider that his prayer to God, or was he complaining, or was he stating a fact? How is that interpreted to you all?
I thought he was stating a fact.
Okay. Any other answers?
I was reading that it was a saying that they, a proverb that they like to say to suggest that the Lord was doing them more harshly than their ancestors.
Yeah, I would say out of everything that we know in the history of the Israelites being freed from Egypt, I would say this is probably the harshest I've ever really read about the Israelites when God took his protection away from them.
Right, because he's always protecting them.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, generally he was protecting them. Like when they become disobedient, he put his back to them. So they say
yeah.
He never leaves you. So he may not have left them, but he put his back to them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's me. Now, I don't mean to break, because I see it, but that's just not me.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I came across that in the Enduring Word commentary, and it says, Jeremiah quoted a common proverb and complaint from that time, which is found also in Ezekiel 18, verse 2, and Jeremiah 31, 29 through 30. So this proverb expressed and promoted a popular idea that God was unfair in not punishing the fathers as they deserved, and unfair in punishing the present generation. But I think their iniquities were like, they were doubling down on what their ancestors did.
Mm-hmm. Good point, good point. Are there any more comments? Thank you, my sister. That was a good point you stated there. And you quoted it with scriptures, Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Appreciate that. Very. When you get time, everyone, if you jot that down, go ahead and read those two chapters there. Okay, we're getting to the end of the road, folks. Are there any more answers or comments? If not, last and final question. Number 14, what other things happened to the women, young men, and to the elders?
11 and 12.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I had.
I agree with Reese. Yes.
Okay. Once
Pardon?
Again, Reese, would you read that for us, please?
Oh, yes, sir.
Our enemies raped. Go ahead, Eric.
No. You were reading. I'll listen.
Our enemies raped the women in Jerusalem and our young girls in all the towns of Judea. Our prince are being hung by the throne. And our elders are treated with contempt.
Amen.
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 Amen. Okay. I went all the way down to 14. 14.
Yeah, I did too, 11 to 14.
Young men were led away to work at milestones, and the boys staggered under heavy loads of wood. The elders no longer sit in the city gates. The young men no longer dance and sing.
Amen.
So,
amen.
It's almost like that song. It was a sad day when Toby went away.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Yes,
well, any other answers or comments to that question?
Yes, I have another comment that all of these poems are considered dirge poetry, and that was real popular at the time. And then there's a quote that says, the use of the alphabet symbolizes that the completeness, A to Z grief, is being expressed. So each one of those poems begins with letters of the Hebrew alphabet.
Okay. Thank you, Ms.
And
Johnson.
That concludes from the comments.
No, I'm saying thank you for your tutorial service.
Yes. Yeah, I want to go ahead. Okay. I want to go ahead and read. Would you read the footnotes 5:14 for us?
Sir, I can't. I don't have my Bible. I'm on the computer.
Oh, okay. Could someone read footnotes 5:14? That'll complete our answer.
What's Sister Colin at? She got that.
Now you're about to make me adjust my glasses again. Hold on.
Yes, my good sister.
Okay. During peace. Peace and prosperity, the leaders and the elders of the city would sit at the city gate and talk over politics, theology, and philosophy, and conduct business. As Jeremiah prayed, he saw fewer and fewer evidence of either the healthy interaction or the lighthearted dancing of their former lives under God's blessing. They had lost even the everyday event they had assumed would always be there. A lack of continued gratefulness to God often indicates that we are taking the goodness of life for granted.
And we do it as human beings. We do.
Yeah. We do. I mean, just even in our worldly life, we take things for granted.
Right.
It's like, you know, I was telling my grandson, TJ, I said, it's a shame that you guys don't know cursive handwriting. I said, because everything that's written about our freedom in this world, in this country, it's all written in cursive. So you're going to be, you have to let somebody interpret it, tell you what it says, and you can't read it yourself.
Right. Yes.
And then, you know, and then we don't have our kids. They'll sit down on that phone for 6, 7, 8 hours and 10 hours, and they'll binge watch something on TV, and we can't even get them to read one chapter of the Bible. And we just can't say to kids, it's us too. We won't get them just to read, you know, a verse or something, you know, continue to study his word. So we don't be like, you know, those lost generations. Like Jeremiah was trying to just, you know, get him like, Pastor, he's like teaching us and telling us this is what we need, this is what we got to get. And we'd be like, oh, okay then. And then we don't.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a good point.
Yes. Well, anyway, are there any more answers or comments on the last question? If not, we're going to close with prayer. But before that, before I pray us out, I'd like to thank everyone for sitting in and listening and answering the questions and just having a good old time.
Yes.
Because we had a really good time. I always enjoy doing the Bible reading class. I really, really do. Sorry, I've been gone for a long time and everything, but it's good to be back. I want to say that.
All right.
And good in hearing from all of y'all and everything. Deacon Reed, would you play us out? I'm losing my voice. Would you mind? Thank you.
Okay. Before we pray out, let me make a quick announcement.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Sorry.
Friday, we got Bring Back the Family at 7 o'clock. Join the conversation. Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, be glad to see you tuned in and having something to say on the subject. And then on Saturday, Elder Joseph Stevens will be bringing the message. Okay. And then Sunday, I'll be closing out God's plan for life and family. When we bring the kids in, and then we close that out on Sunday. And don't forget your homework on Monday. I think the homework is read chapter 1, and then do those. Go to page 175, and you'll see we have some review stuff back there. Fill those out, and then be ready for class on Monday.
I thought she said read chapter 1 through 3 in the Bible.
Yes, chapters 1 through 3 in the Bible, chapter 1
and
of
then
the book, and then those questions in the back.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry, I missed that class. Do you mind repeating that for the people that were bad and didn't attend?
Okay. For the people who were bad, bad people who did not attend, this is for you. Okay, read chapters 1, 2, and 3 of 2 Peter, and then read chapter 1 of the book of Charlie Avila, if you have it, and then go to page 175 in the book and do those review questions in the back there.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I will be ordering my book tonight.
All righty.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, yeah. On our church website, if you did miss the class, the link is at the bottom of the page. You'll see a link to the class. Those links will be put there 5 to 10 minutes after the class. That way, if you miss the class, you can go there and do some review and get caught up. It should be, we have a player, a BTR player on our church website. You can use that player, unless you just want to go visit the show page. Other than that, you can just go to the player and play it right out of there, the Blog Talk Radio player.
Oh, okay, I see the link. Okay, thank you.
You are welcome.
All righty then. All right. All minds clear. Let's go to the Lord. To our
all
Father.
Right.
Okay. Good Father God, thank you for the faith. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, Eric. Before you go, do you just put a little extra prayer? TJ, he fractured his shoulder, so just pray for him. He in a lot of pain.
I understand it. I can believe that.
Yes.
Okay. Good Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity of being able to study your word. Thank you for the brother that you gave us today to lead us in this class that we had. Father, we ask that you correct the voice situation he's having going on right now. And at the same time, while you had that healing finger out working, we ask that you touch Brother TJ's shoulder and give him some relief and take the discomfort away. If not, take the swelling down so that it can take the pressure off of those particular nerves and giving them the aches that he's receiving. And Lord, we ask that you continue
enlighten us on the word that we're getting out of your different chapters that we are studying so that we'll know how to read your word, understand your word, and then at some point present your word. Lord, we ask that you help us all, help ourselves be a better servant for you. And we ask these blessings in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Wow. Thank you, class. I appreciate it. Good class.
Thank you, too. Thank you, too,
good
sir.
Class.
Yes, indeed. Lots of good discussion. And, you know, like I say out of Malachi all the time, the Lord looked and the Lord listened and heard those who always talked about honoring his name and always thought about blessing or doing what he said. Amen. So that's a good thing the Lord saw that tonight. And y'all have a really good conversation going on there. You know what I mean? And it's good to make this stuff in context applicable to our day and our time and how we can deal with it. But let's remember this. Even though we're under grace, under the new covenant, and God ain't never going to do to us what he did to them, again, he will correct us, not to get at us, but because, like he tells me all the time, he say, okay, I see you trying to live beneath yourself. I'm going to have to lift you up. So you know. And so if you don't want the Lord to lift you up, just let God get you up. Just do what he say and trust. Amen. And so, like my wife's grandmother used to tell me as we come to a close, Reverend Overall seemed like you like to learn everything the hard way. So anyway, God bless you. God keep you. Y'all have a good evening. See you later. Thanks, Oliver. Appreciate you, man.
No way. No problem. Anytime, you know. Anytime.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Sure will. Take it easy, everyone.
Have a good night.
All right.
Good night.
Okay.
Peace and love, my brothers and sisters.
Peace and love, my brother.
Said I woke up to the summer shining through, calling on my friends asking what's the move, feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today.
Ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful.
Got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day.
Ooh.
This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy.